They're in an interesting position right now because I still don't think this is a white flag. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as a reallocation of assets. I look at it as, okay, we could get rid of this, take this bond, this pile of money that he stands for, and turn it into something that can really help this ball club. We can deal from a position of strength into a position of weakness. And so we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring on our friend from The Athletic, Zach Meisel. Zach, welcome to the program, man.
I'm happy to be the point of weakness to join your point of strength.
No, sir, it is always the other direction on this show. Trust me. There was a whole discussion earlier involving a name that I couldn't pronounce to save for the life of me. So you're saving this show right now. So let's start with the trade yesterday. Yan Gomes going to the Washington Nationals, bringing back two prospects. What do you think?
It's weird. I mean, I know a lot of fans are up in arms. Twitter is a place where people love to release their anger and their frustration, and I get it. But I didn't like the trade in itself, but I also think we need to withhold a little judgment because it's December 1st. And at some point, there's going to be another more important trade or transaction or something. And I think that will tell us more about this offseason and what we should expect in 2019 and moving forward than this deal. I'm surprised they didn't get a little more for Gomes. I know they like the outfielder they got. They think the pitcher who will likely pitch in relief for the Indians, he's supposedly has a great arm. It's just he's never fully been able to put it together. So there's upside with the two pieces, but it's a little strange because you definitely didn't get better. There are questions about the catching position now. And this is, I know we want to throw around Yan Gomes was an all-star and he had a good season last year, and that's true. But let's remember, in 2015, 2016, and 2017, everybody was calling for this guy to lose his job because he couldn't hit. And he struggled to stay healthy, too. So it's, you don't know that he would have had another great season. I think they took a step back at the catching position a little bit, but I still think that's not enough of a difference. Like, there's going to be another move. Like, they don't do this trade thinking, okay, well, now we're better set at catcher and that's it. We can just stand still. There's more to this, I think.
You and I are aligned the same way on this. That's exactly how I feel. It's December 1st. We've got a lot away from this. This screamed like, okay, we've got to get off some kind of cash because there's something down the road that we're looking to do that makes more sense for this team.
Yeah, and I understand fans who say, oh, this is a salary dump. They're just looking to shed payroll. They don't want to get better next year. And that would make more sense, but keep in mind, they just gave $4.5 million to Danny Salazar.
Oh, we're getting there.
Yeah, they could have just cut him loose. So this is not about just getting the payroll down to $90 million and hoping and praying that you can be competitive. This is, they are trying to move some money around. Look, I mean, they're not going to increase the payroll over last year, but I think they're trying to move some money around and just make it a more efficient roster. I know they had the second oldest roster in baseball last year. They weren't happy with that. So they're trying to be creative. I really think this just sets things up for a bigger trade down the line, whether it's a starting pitcher, maybe finding someone to take Jason Kipnis, and then using that money to sign a free agent outfielder. Like, there are more moving parts here. And so I think we have to look at this as though this isn't the team you're going to opening day with.
Yeah, and I think you're 100% right on that one. At least I hope not, because I'm holding the outfield depth chart in front of me right now.
Ugh.
And oh boy, you need Tums to get through this. Leonis Martin, Greg Allen, Tyler Naquin, Jordan Lupnow, and Oscar Mercado. Are they going to get out? I mean, I know this is a dumb question, Zach, but are they going to get outfield help, or are we going into the season with 3/4 outfielders and hoping for the best?
They have to. You know, there's no choice here. They know that. I mean, it's interesting because the guy they got yesterday was the Nationals Minor League Player of the Year in 2017. And the guy they got from Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, Jordan Luplow, was the Pirates Minor League Player of the Year in 2017. So they are taking on guys who have potential, and it's in there. But they also aren't in a position where it's like, okay, well, let's just play this lottery ticket and hope that this happens, and then maybe we can be good. Like, it's, you're trying to contend with teams that have bona fide all-stars every single year in their outfield. I mean, the Yankees are going to run Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton out there. You can't run Oscar Mercado and Greg Allen out there. So it's their work is not done by any means. I think they know that. I think they know, you know, maybe it's more than just one everyday outfielder. They might need two, and they have to find a way either by using the money they've saved on Yan Gomes, and maybe they can save on future trades, or by trading a starting pitcher. They still have to address that outfield.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. Zach Meisel from The Athletic joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Zach, into Danny Salazar. They announced yesterday that they negotiated a new contract with Danny Salazar, taking a $500,000 pay cut to $4.5 million. Do they have a plan for Danny Salazar? Should we as fans have a plan for Danny Salazar, or is this a $4.5 million lottery ticket?
It's a lottery ticket. They're hopeful he'll be ready to, you know, compete for. I think they're going to build him up as a starter to start, and they'll kind of see where they are. But it also depends on the composition of the roster. I mean, they have all the holes you could have in the bullpen. I think there's one guy who I would trust holding on to a job, and that's Brad Hand. And like Dan Otero's there, Adam Simber's under contract. Like there's a few guys like that, but I mean I Brad Hand's the one guy you trust, and everything else is kind of a blank canvas right now. So it's possible Salazar ends up there. I mean, he's kind of in a similar boat as Cody Anderson, where they have these two guys who have really good arms. They missed last season, and it's just a matter of where do you have that fit? Where do you have that need? You know, if they trade a starting pitcher, well, then they have those two guys there potentially for depth at that spot. If they need help in the bullpen, well, then maybe those two guys can help there. So it's $4.5 million on a guy who has a really good arm and has been very frustrating because he hasn't thrown a pitch in a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people like to always look to, well, you know, Danny Salazar could come help. Danny Salazar come. I've been burnt so many times waiting for Danny Salazar to come back. You know, you kind of feel like the, I don't know if you're an Arrested Development fan, but we were quoting that earlier where every time they try to go to the cabin and they keep showing the pictures of all the kids looking sad waiting for to come be picked up by the cabin. That's what I feel like for Danny Salazar.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough too because, like, you think, I mean, he was an all-star in 2016, and we've seen the arm. And the one thing we haven't seen is we've all dreamed about what could this guy be if he was an eighth, ninth inning guy. And is he throwing 99 miles an hour and he's got that nasty split change? Like, it seems like it would be tailor-made for him. Well, we haven't seen that, and we don't know if his arm can hold up. So it's tantalizing, and I think you think about, okay, well, if they don't give him that $4.5 million deal for next year and they cut him loose, and then, you know, some team takes a chance on him and he's healthy and he becomes what he was, then you're kicking yourself, and I just don't think they could live with that. And so they gave him the offer.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, you'd rather have him show up and look good for your organization than show up and look good for somebody else's organization. But it's a really tough sell when you're trading your catcher to help reallocate some of the capital that you have to then turn around and hand some of that capital to another guy who's a lotto ticket. You know, it's a hell of a sell, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of frustration even in the Indians clubhouse with Salazar. I mean, just the fact that he has not been able to stay healthy, it seems like it's always, you know, he's making progress and then there's a setback. And for a long time, people were asking, is this mental? Is he actually hurt? Does he just think he's hurt? And I think there's a lot of frustration with that. And then the fact that I don't think this is just cause and effect, but the fact that you trade a guy who is well-respected in the clubhouse in Yan Gomes and who has been a gamer and has tried to stay healthy. And remember, he came back from that broken wrist in 2016 and made the playoff roster after like a couple of weeks. Like, it was a heroic effort. And then you trade him to clear his salary and you turn around and give $4.5 million to a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy. It's just a little odd, and it's been an odd start to the offseason for the Indians.
I'm with you there. All right, Zach, look into your crystal ball. I know you've got one sitting around there.
I do.
Okay, what is going to come next for the Cleveland Indians? Are we going to see some kind of a free agent signing, or is there a trade?
So I think the top goal or priority is to find a taker for Jason Kipnis, Maybe Yonder Alonso fits in there. A way to clear a little more salary space. I mean, if they were to find someone to take on Kipnis, well, then you've just cleared $21 million. And if you can't play in free agency, then this ownership needs to be, they need to have pitchforks in their front yard. I mean,
it's torches and pitchforks. You're right.
Yeah. So I think that's the top first priority. And I think after that, because that's going to be difficult. If you can't do that, and I think they're having these talks simultaneously. I don't think it's necessarily one or the other. But I think they're going to really look hard into trading starting pitcher. I think it's going to be Kluber or Bauer. I think it depends on the team they're dealing with, the return they get back. And this is not – I know people have been saying, oh, you said they weren't going to acquire prospects in a trade. I mean that with a significant trade. You know, if they trade Kluber or Bauer, it's not going to be for some 22-year-olds you've never heard of. It's going to be getting at least one impactful outfielder or pitcher in return who can help them in 2019. So I think those are the two things they're looking at. I think they have to do at least one or the other, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they do both.
Yeah, I think this is exactly where I am. I think no matter what you do with those two starting pitchers, you have got to get back some Major League-ready talent. Whether it's you talk to the Dodgers, you talk to the Yankees, you talk to anybody who else is involved, I need somebody back that is going to help me now and that is going to help the window that I have stay open. Because I don't think this team is country miles away from, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Astros. I really don't. I just think they got stifled at the wrong time.
Yeah, and I mean, they didn't address anything yesterday. That's the issue here. Is they made a trade. They used one of their better trade chips, and yeah, maybe they'll have more depth in 2021 or something like that, but they didn't get better, so they still have to address the same issues that we've been saying they've needed to address really since at least the last offseason. I mean, they didn't do much last offseason to fix the bullpen or the outfield, so this is an ongoing project, and they still have work to do, and they know that. That's why I don't think they're done by any means, and if we want to be frustrated about yesterday's trade, that's fine. Looking at it in a vacuum, but I think you have to look at the bigger picture and know that there's plenty of time left in the off season, and the winter meetings are a week away, and the Indians are probably going to be right in the spotlight in the winter meetings and getting tons of attention.
All right, man, go get some sleep. Rest up for those winter meetings. You may want to hit a cocktail bar or two to get the tolerance up so that you can hobnob and get us some info. All right.
The winter meeting's in Vegas. What could be better?
Oh, my. I didn't realize it was in Vegas. Oh, man. Okay, then you may want to save some money, too.
Sounds like a good idea.
All right, dude. Take care of yourself. Thanks for joining on short notice.
You got it. Thanks, man.
All right. That was Zach Meisel of The Athletic, the Indians beat reporter there. As good as they come. 216-578-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter.